Test, test, okay. Now I'm live. I know some of you are here from Abaxis. I wore my suit this morning just to prove I own a suit. I'm wearing a tie, and I made it myself. You will never see me wear this at work. So with that, I only wore the jacket to prove I own this. I'm going to have to take it off. I'm sorry. It's hot up here. We're going to continue this morning in the book of 1 John, and we've come to 1 John chapter 4. And if you're visiting for the first time, we've been going through this book and seeing what the Lord has to say to us about several topics. How He wants us to experience joy. He wants His people to be full of joy. And John also wrote that we may not sin, to help the church that he's writing to avoid and to stay away from sin. He wrote to them so that they would know the truth. There were several false teachers who were in the church and teaching a doctrine that wasn't correct. And John wanted to make sure that the doctrine that they were hearing was the truth. And that he wrote that they may have and know that they have eternal life because of some of the false teaching. People were beginning to doubt as to whether or not they really knew God. They really knew the true God. And last week we talked about how we need to love one another and that we would experience love from God, but that we would show that love to other people. And John uses contrasts when he writes, and we've seen some of those contrasts as we've gone through the book. The children of God versus the children of the devil was one of the ones we spoke of last week. We started out with that in chapter 3, verse 10. The children of God practice righteousness, and the children of the devil do not practice righteousness. And he wanted them to know something that was true for them and true for everyone in this room this morning, everyone in this church this morning, everyone, that you're either one of two people. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. And your choices really determine who you're following. And then last week, in the second half, he taught us about love versus hatred. Those who love, it's indicative of a child of God. And those who hate, it is indicative of a child of the devil. And that if we're truly a child of God, we will love one another, because no one who says they're a Christian can say they hate another Christian and be assured that they're a child of God. We want what's best for the other person. We want what's best for our brother and sister. And now we're going to look at the passage this morning in 1 John chapter 4. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4 if you haven't done so already. I'll throw up some slides on the screen there, and we'll be able to see what we're going to be studying. First of all, John's writing a warning, and he's writing a warning to the church so that they would not be deceived by these false teachers. And he says in verse 1, beloved, and that's a real term of endearment for this fellowship. He really loves them. And he says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Don't believe everything you're hearing. He wants them to test the spirit to see if they're from God. Because these prophets, these false teachers, they have the spirit of Antichrist. And he contrasts them with those who have the spirit of God. And, you know, false teachers were nothing new back in John's time. The Old and New Testament were filled with warnings of false teachers. Ephesians 4:14 tells us that as Christians we must be discerning lest we be tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and by craftiness in deceitful scheming. There's people who are going to come into the church and they're going to teach falsehood, going to be deceitful in what they teach. And they're going to be schemers. And they're going to deceive the saints. And it's crucial that if you're a believer, that if you're sitting here this morning listening to the message, that you examine everything carefully. Because not everyone who says they're a Christian is a Christian. Not everyone who teaches the Bible is teaching truth. That you don't believe everything you hear. Just because a person speaks about Jesus, God, and the Bible, which is usually the answer to the questions that I used to ask in Sunday school, I'd ask a question, oh, Jesus, no, oh, God, oh, the Bible. Those are the three answers, those are the three go-to answers in Sunday school. But just because a person is teaching on Jesus, God, or the Bible doesn't mean he's a true child of God. Because we run into someone who professes to be a Christian or a person who says they're accepting of Christianity and they teach a different Jesus than is found in the Scripture. And that these people deny the Word of God. And from the beginning, that's been Satan's strategy, is to deny the Word of God. We saw this in the Garden of Eden where the serpent talked to Eve. What did he want to do? He wanted to do three things. He attacked the Word of God by wanting to cause doubt. He attacked the Word of God by denying it. And he attacked the Word of God by distorting the truth. He cast doubt on what had said, God had said about not eating of the fruit of the tree, of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, are you sure God said that? That you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? He tried to cast doubt and make it look as though God was withholding something from them or that God was not telling the truth. Secondly, the serpent denied what God had said to Adam, that if he ate of the fruit, he would surely die, by telling Eve, you surely will not die. So he tried to deny what God has said, God's very word. And the third thing, he distorted the truth by saying, your eyes will be open and you'll become like God if you do this. And what happened? They ate of the tree and they fell. They sinned. And they were separated from God. It hurt their fellowship with God. And it's been that way ever since. Satan wants you to deny, he wants God's word denied. He wants to distort the truth. And he wants you to not believe the word of God. And he's going to throw things in your life. He's going to throw people in your life that do these things. So he gives the command to test. Do not believe every spirit. We're to test the message and we're also to test the messenger. And we're going to talk a little bit about that later. You know, John spoke against Christians being gullible. You know, a lot of times we're nice people and we want to believe, and yet we're gullible to everything that we're told. And we may not want to hear that, but God does not want us to be gullible. Remember last week I spoke to you about a number of years ago, someone asked me to do something that was wrong. It was unethical. And one of the reasons why I believe they asked me to do that is because they knew I was a Christian. They knew I was a nice guy. Some of you may want to dispute that here this morning, you know, test the messenger. But I think they believe because I said I followed Jesus, I was gullible and was just going to do whatever they said. And so he really speaks to us. Do not believe could also be translated stop believing, as though they were already believing the message of these false teachers. Brothers and sisters, we need to test the spirits. We need to examine what is taught. You know, some would say that if we challenge them on what they taught of the Bible, that we're not being very loving. Why would you question what I say? Why would you question what I taught? Well, it's not an unloving thing to do. Actually, it's a biblical. You can do it in an unloving way. You can do it in an unbiblical way. But it's biblical to test the messenger as well as the message. We're exhorted to test. And the reason why we're exhorted to test is in 2 Peter chapter 2. And Peter writes, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves." False teachers will bring destructive heresies within the church. And they'll hurt and they'll harm the spiritual well-being of believers. Would you go to a doctor that practices medicine with faulty ideas? Earlier this year, I read about a young man, an 18-year-old, who was pretending to be a doctor in Florida. And he was going in with all the other doctors and he was observing in some of the treatment rooms. He was observing in some of the examination rooms. He even opened up his own practice. He opened up his own clinic. And his family turned him in after he had a grand opening for his clinic and invited people to come, you know, find out about the clinic he was opening up. The guy was 18 years old. Would you want to go to him? Would you want him to treat you? You know, this wasn't Hauser. This wasn't a guy who went to, medical school when he was like 13 or something like this. This guy had no medical training. He was just a deceiver. Would you go to somebody just because they bought a white coat and hung a stethoscope around their neck? You wouldn't do that. Then why would you listen to a teacher or a preacher who's teaching faulty doctrine just because, you know, he owns the Bible? Mine's on my iPad. I could show you maybe 10 or 12 different versions of the Bible. But why would you follow someone who has faulty teaching? A false teacher of the scripture can do more damage than that 18-year-old can. Because the 18-year-old, it's just going to harm your physical body if he messes up. A false teacher that you follow is going to affect your eternity. So we need to be careful about that. And we need to do what John says, and that's test the spirits. Because these men, these false teachers will bring destruction within the church and in your life. And so this is I left the second part of verse 1 on here. And he says, "But we're to put to test the messenger and the message to see whether they're from God." In the past, I've met with people who've listened to false teachers. And it's really difficult to get them to unthink some of the things that they believe. One false teacher in particular, this guy was very dynamic and he had a devoted following. But when you test his teaching against what the Word of God says, wow, it was something completely different. He contradicted the Scripture. He taught a different Jesus. He denied that Jesus was God. He taught a different gospel. He taught a different way to holiness and obedience to God. And this holiness and obedience was just based on the rules that he put together. And if you wanted to be right with God, you needed to not follow Jesus. You needed to follow him. And one of the big problems that he had was that he named part of his ministry truth. And so when we began to show the Word of God to this young man and challenged him that just because it says it's truth doesn't mean that it's truth. Truth is in the Word of God. He challenged us. But my feeling is, just because the word truth was in the ministry name, he could have put it on a sign. He could have put it on a website. He did have it on a website. He could have tattooed it onto his chest. He could have sold t-shirts with the truth written on it. But that's not enough. It needs to be put to the test. The Word of God and the teaching needs to be put to the test. Even if somebody explains that they've had some sort of experience. On Friday night we were talking about experiences. And how experiences, some people, their whole doctrine, their whole belief is based on experiences. That some people, their whole religion can be summed up in the statement, follow your heart. Follow your heart. Do what your heart tells you to do. And some of you were thinking of Jeremiah 17:9 says, what? Our heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful. You know that when you're just looking for experiences, apart from the Word of God, you're setting yourself up to be deceived. You know, because Satan comes as an angel of light. He's not coming in darkness. He's coming as an angel of light in order to deceive the Christian. Isaiah 56:11 says, and the dogs are greedy, they are not satisfied, and they are shepherds who have no understanding. And they have all turned to their own way, each one to his unjust gain, to the last one. There are people who call themselves shepherd that are just in it for themselves. You know, one way to recognize a false teacher is they seek to benefit themselves. So we need to test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. We need to test the teaching of false prophets to compare their teaching to the Word of God. And God's Word is our primary defense against error. And John is saying this because he's already sent so many false prophets into the world and he doesn't want the church to be deceived. Jesus himself warned against false prophets. Matthew 17:15. I think I have this up there. Let's see. Can we change? Matthew 17:15. Jesus says, beware of the false prophets who have come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. False teaching. deceitfulness. We need to be aware of that. And Jesus says we need to be aware of that. We need to test the spirits. We need to test them to see how it compares to the Word of God. Do they teach that Jesus came from the God the Father as the living Word of God? Do they teach that Jesus came in the flesh? Some deny that. Is Jesus the incarnation of God? Is Jesus God Himself? And so, when we met with this person who came and had this false teaching, one of the things that the teacher, the false teacher was doing was saying Jesus was not God. That Jesus came and at His baptism is when the Spirit of God came upon Him and the Spirit of God left Him before the crucifixion. And that's not the Jesus of the Bible. A true test of your faith is understanding and accepting Jesus as God. That humanity and deity came together in the person of Jesus Christ. And these false teachers were saying that Jesus was not from God. They say Jesus is a God. Jesus is lesser than God. Jesus is not the Almighty God. One way to see false teaching is when they deny Jesus Christ. You know, if you're going to listen to somebody, you need to know who Jesus really is. And how do you do that? You know, Melissa talked about how she's in the Word of God. She's studying the truth. And that's how you know the truth, is to study the truth. You can't study every falsehood that's out there, but if you study the truth, you'll know when something false comes along. You know, this teaching that denies Jesus, it's erroneous. It's heretical. And it's a rejection of Christ. John warns that the spirit of Antichrist is already here. And we see that when Jesus' deity is rejected. You know, I'm grateful for Sunday school. The Sunday school classes that my kids were in. I'm grateful for Awana that has taught my kids the Word of God. One Saturday morning, I was doing what I often do, and I was sleeping on the couch. And I heard a ruckus in the other room, and kind of a discussion going on. And then I heard Lisa's voice, I heard someone else's voice, then I heard a couple of young kids' voices. And I was wondering, kind of half in and out of sleep, what was going on. Well, it turned out that somebody was going door to door at our house, and Lisa opened up the door and began talking to her. And she began sharing who Jesus really is with this person, because this person was denying Jesus. And next thing you know, I hear these three voices that are just rapid fire like a machine gun, giving this lady verses that Jesus is God. Jesus is the Savior. And she was started getting really upset. And she was the one who came to our house. She was the one who knocked on our door. And then she's the one who's raising her voice. And these three young men, young boys at the time, who are now young men, were teaching her the truth. Why? Because they learned the truth right here. In our Sunday school classes, they learned it right here on Thursday nights. In our Awana program, and it taught them a lot about who Jesus really is. They were testing the spirit of this woman. Here's the thing I'm worried about is, you know, when you hear some sort of nonsense about Jesus being taught, we can easily become cynical. towards that and uncaring toward the person who's not teaching the truth. We need to also understand that this is a person created in the image of God who's teaching falsehood, who's been taught falsehood. And we try to reach out to these people to speak to them because we want them to know the truth and we want them to hear about the true Jesus, not the one that they're speaking on. One time I was questioned as I was studying with this young man. He says, you know, you just don't have faith. As he was trying to teach me this falsehood, he questioned me and says, you don't have faith. And I said, you know, you're right. I don't have faith in you. I have faith in Jesus of the Bible. Verse 4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. We don't need to be worried if we're a child of God. You have overcome already. And John reminds them that the Spirit of God that we talked a little bit about last week is living inside Christians. And the Spirit of God helps us also discern truth from error. Verse 5, they are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. You know, the world hears false teachers, and if they're not careful, they flock to them. Just because the world approves of something doesn't make it right, though. I don't know about you, but I've seen arenas on television filled with people who are listening to the teaching of false teachers who flock to them and their false messages. Listen, though. Listen to how they appeal to the masses, because there's several ways that you can understand who false teachers are. They often teach about the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And people suck it up. They want it. They'll encourage you to live for pleasure. They'll encourage you to live for possessions or live for notoriety. But if you want to be faithful to God, you'll likely have to face the disapproval of man. Jesus said, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first. True believers who resist worldly ideas will be hated. But it also says they have overcome them. They've overcome the world. And it's not only who's listening to them, but who are these false teachers listening to? Verse 6. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. This is us as the apostles here. By this we know the spirit of truth. And this, someone is unwilling to listen to the New Testament, the apostles, as the final authority, and to only get their doctrine from Scripture, then you can know that they're not really a true spokesman of the Lord. People who've added to the message of the New Testament are not spokesmen of God. It comes back to the Word of God. You got to know the Word of God. This week I was researching a medical procedure that the doctor recommended to me. And this is a real doctor, and it was a real medical procedure. And while I was looking this up, I came to an article about an evangelist in Florida. Now, this is my second example of Florida. I don't know what's going on there. Well, this evangelist, he claimed to heal people. And the way he did it is he healed people of cancer by kicking them in the face. Yeah, that's true, Dave. And he said that he was able to heal people by kicking them with his boots. And so he would cure somebody of colon cancer by kicking them in the stomach. He would kick others in the face. And there were people who were flocking to this guy. You know, I can't make this stuff up. You could look it up on the internet. They interviewed one guy who had had his tooth knocked out while he was trying to receive a healing. But the bigger thing is that people are flocking to this stuff. You know, I believe God can do miracles, but this stuff was nonsense. He's kicking people in the face and tackling them in the aisle so they could receive the power of God. You know, I need to tell Mike Osmus, this probably wouldn't work very well in the prison ministry. You know, I gave my son a ride to the doctor this week to have a procedure done. Not once did I ever think about taking him to this guy for a healing. How is it that a church would think that this is a good idea? It's deception. What would you think of the leadership here if you called up and you were sick or you had a problem and we called you in and took you in the office and roughed you up a little bit and said, I healed you? I think you'd stop going. I think you'd stop putting prayer requests in the grapevine. Don't believe everything you hear. Compare it to the Word of God. Does it line up with love? You know, kicking someone in the face does not line up with love. If you didn't know that, I want to say that right now. We don't want to be mean for Jesus. But we want to know the truth from error. So let's compare spiritual messages that we encounter to God's revealed standard. And that's the Word of God. My hope is that we here at Fairhaven Bible Chapel would value God, that we would value God's message, and that we would value one another, and that we would seek the truth through His Word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You love us, You care for us, You desire that we know the truth, and we thank You that You've given us the truth in the Word of God, how that truth has truly changed lives. We thank You for the baptisms this morning of really that shows us what new life means, a changed life, a life that is given to Jesus and a life that obeys Jesus. We do pray for Christian and Melissa, Lord, that they would continue to grow in You, that they would continue to get closer to You, Lord, and that You might really reveal Yourself more and more each day to them so that they might live for You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.